All right, welcome, folks. Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com, and we're joined today by a fan favorite guest. It's Brian Festa from We the Patriots USA. And that's the website, too, by the way, wethepatriotsusa.org. And Brian Festa and his partner, they work very hard to try to fight for freedom in America, vaccine exemptions. And also, they've got a horror story today about LGBT indoctrination happening in public schools in Idaho that Brian's going to share with us, and a lot of other things. So, Brian, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
It's great to be back, Mike. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You come highly recommended by my audience. They keep asking, when are you going to have Brian back on? You know, you're making donations. Donate money to We the Patriots, right? So our audience loves your work. Tell us about what it is that you do. I know you have a nonprofit organization. What do you do, and what are some of the victories that you've achieved in the last year or two?
Well, we are doing a whole lot, so much so that I know I'm going to forget something as we go along here. but we right now, we are still fighting, believe it or not, we are still fighting these COVID mandates. Here it is 2023, and I can't even believe we're still fighting this. But people are still being fired from their jobs. People are still calling us about the fallout where they were fired, you know, last year, or they're being threatened. We have Sergeant Jesus Cano, who's a 21-year Army, still active duty, Army sergeant. He's a combat veteran, two deployments, I believe, to Afghanistan. I mean, this guy's an American hero, and they're kicking him out as of this July, even though Biden supposedly did away with that, right? He did away with the military mandate. The Pentagon said right. They did away with it. His commanding officers are telling him, nope, we're still kicking you out. And not only that, you're going to lose your GI benefits if you don't comply with this vaccine mandate. So, or shot mandate. I hate calling it. It's not a vaccine, but it's a shot mandate. And, you know, we have an active fundraiser actually on our website for him still, because we haven't reached our goal yet for him. But we want to be able to file this real soon on his behalf and take on the Pentagon over this. That's one thing. You mentioned some of this LGBTQ craziness that's going on in the United States. Well, it's going on right here in our home state of Idaho. And this is something, Mike, that I never thought we would be battling. When we relocated from Connecticut to Idaho, I thought, hey, we'll still have things to fight across the country, but we're not going to be fighting things so much in our home state. I couldn't have been more wrong. You said to me, I'll never forget it. The first interview I did with you back in December of 2020, Dawn and I were on Brighteon Conversations, and you said to me, why are you still living in Connecticut?
Right. It's not a place of freedom.
And I really didn't have a good answer for you at the time. So I thought it over, and lo and behold, I eventually was able to get out. I made a strategic plan. I mean, not just because of what you said. I had been thinking about it for a while. But I made a strategic plan, and we got out in June of last year. And then Dawn and I relocated the business to Caldwell, Idaho. That's where we're headquartered now. Well, literally in our backyard here in Caldwell, Idaho, and it's making headlines. There was actually, you know, even mainstream Fox News just did a piece on it a couple of days ago. They're implementing a transgender curriculum policy, a transgender policy, I should say, in the public schools, such that teachers and students will have to use preferred pronouns. If a student wants to be called, a boy wants to be called a girl wants to be called a boy, they'll have to be allowed to change in locker rooms with the opposite sex, use restrooms with the opposite sex. I mean, this is Caldwell, Idaho. This is not, you know, Hartford, Connecticut, or New York, New York, or any of the other places, Los Angeles, any place that we expect it. This is Idaho, which is a deep red state. So this is why this battle is so important, that we need to be aware of battles like this and wake people up and educate them this is going on. Because if this can happen in Idaho, it can happen in Texas, it can happen in Tennessee, it can happen in Florida, South Carolina. These people have taken over. They have an agenda, and they have taken over the public school systems. And that's why so many parents have chosen to pull their kids out. But for the parents that can't do that, we have to keep fighting for them. So I placed them on notice. You can go to our Rumble channel and you'd see the speech that I gave. They only gave me 3 minutes, but I gave a speech to the school board because I am also happen to be a parent of a child in the school district. I have a special needs child who's vaccine injured, so he can't go to a private school. I have a daughter also that goes to private school. Otherwise, I wouldn't have my son in public school. I'll tell you that. But he has a lot of special needs because he's vaccine injured. So he needs public school services for that. And so I spoke there as a parent and I told them, this is a state-sponsored religion. What you are doing is imposing a state-sponsored, a government-sponsored religion in the classroom. And they didn't quite understand what I meant, I don't think. So I explained. I said, this is no different. You saying to a boy that you're a girl and calling a boy by a girl's name, you doing that in the classroom while my son is sitting there is teaching him an opposing religious belief to our beliefs because we are Christians. And so it's no different than if you said to a fellow student in my son's classroom that Jesus is not the Son of God. Mm-hmm. That would be an opposing religious belief that would be espoused in the classroom. And the Supreme Court has made clear, Mike, as you know, that the government, under the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, the government cannot promote its own religion, its own religious beliefs. And that's what they're doing. They don't want to admit this, but it's a religion to them.
Well, it's beyond a religion. It's also, with all the LGBT flags that they're putting up, they are claiming territory. It's like you're being conquered by a foreign occupying army that is the LGBT army. And then you look at what's happening in the Pentagon, where you've got these trans, you know, I don't know what all the proper titles are, but you know, these leaders in the Pentagon that are transgender, and they're ruling over you, and they're running the military. And even in the Biden administration, including the one that's been fired after he/she kept stealing people's luggage out of the airports for some reason, like a trans luggage thief. It's like, you can't make this up. But we're being conquered, we're being ruled, we're being ordered or you know, ordered to live under the flag of this, including in our schools. And I know you know this, but I'm just kind of reiterating this for the audience.
But absolutely. Go ahead. And this is something that we have to fight with every fiber of our beings, because it's gone further and further and further. This agenda that we've seen over the past several decades now, and the more leeway we've given them, the more rope we've given them, the more they've taken. And what's next? All right, this is grooming children now. You see the books, you've seen it. Okay, the books that are in school libraries, public libraries, what's being taught in classroom. I just saw it today, Planned Parenthood. I'm getting them confused because they're all in the same bucket. Trojan Condoms has a cartoon for middle school students about how to use a condom. All right. And really? That's being promoted in Moscow, Idaho, where those horrible murders took place. So again, Idaho, there is a school district that is using that, even though there's a state law in Idaho that they're ignoring very clearly that says it's abstinence only sex ed. Well, teaching middle schoolers how to use a condom is clearly not abstinence only, wait until marriage, sex ed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, and Idaho is not a place where people would expect to see this happening. It just goes to show you. But, you know, Idaho is known as, well, ultra conservative for the most part. But I guess the infiltration in the cities is the same as everywhere, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the scary thing about it. Whether you go to Alabama or you go to Texas, or you go to, you know, any of these other, Florida even, a lot of these big cities, yes, the legislature might be largely conservative, whatever that means. You know, if you have an R next to your name, it doesn't mean you're a good guy, by the way, as you know. But the legislature might look good on paper, but you go into these cities, you go into the public school districts, and you see what's actually being promoted on the ground, and it's scary. And this is why I don't regret relocating myself or relocating the company to Idaho, because actually this is our battleground. This is strategic. Just like the other side, the people promoting this kind of propaganda were very strategic in taking over all these cities. We have to be strategic as people who love America, love freedom, love individual rights in our Constitution. We have to be strategic about now going to these ultra-conservative states and making sure that they stay that way. Because if we just stay in all of the blue states and just fight those battles when we're outnumbered 10 to 1 in every state house, that's a waste of time, in my opinion. I'm not saying, obviously, if you're stuck there and you have nowhere to go, then yes, stand your ground and fight. But if you have the option, please come to one of these red states and fight like heck to keep it not just conservative, but to keep it a freedom-loving state. It's not about, I hate using conservative and liberal. You know, we're not a partisan organization, because when it comes right down to it, it's not about a political party. It's about preserving the vision of the founding fathers. And we've gotten so far away from that. I mean, they'd be rolling in their graves. We're just, I mean, the 10th Amendment, you know, is like something that's non-existent in a lot of states. And there's just this idea that the federal government has so much power, can just do whatever they want by fiat. And we need to take this country back. So we're taking it back in the courts. I believe, Mike, that's the last battleground where we can still win fights. We're not winning them in the elections. You know, whatever you believe about the elections, most people believe that they're rigged. I can't say that the evidence doesn't suggest that. So we're not winning in elections. We're not winning by going to these legislators and talking to them and trying to convince them to pass the right kinds of laws or to not pass the wrong kinds of laws. We're losing battles there. So the only place that I see us winning victory still is in the courts. We have a Supreme Court right now that, while not perfect, they've certainly issued some decisions that have made me scratch my head. They've also issued more good decisions in defense of individual rights and especially religious liberty than I can remember in my lifetime anyway.
Yeah, that's right. And they've issued some very important decisions on the Second Amendment as well. I know that's not the focus of your organization, but it's in that.
Oh, no, we do that too.
Well, what do you think about the arm brace situation then with the ATF?
I want to put a call out right now for plaintiffs. I want to put no, seriously, I was just discussing that with Don the other night. We absolutely do take on Second Amendment cases as well. Any constitutional rights, Mike, anything in the Bill of Rights, we will take it on. So I want to put a call out right now. If anyone's listening, if you are personally affected by that new ATF regulation, which, by the way, that is not a law. They cannot just make something a felony. All right. That has to be passed by Congress. So if anyone is arrested, if anyone is in any way, you know, harmed by that, adversely affected by that new regulation, once it becomes official, I want you to reach out to us at info@wethepatriotsusa.org, and we will evaluate taking on your case, because we definitely want to be involved in fight. I believe it's unconstitutional.
Well, there's no question. I mean, even based on the Supreme Court, you know, Bruin case, it's clearly unconstitutional. And the Fifth Circuit ruling on the bump stock ban, overturning that, it's clearly unconstitutional. But you're going to have no shortage of plaintiffs on these arm braces. I mean, I have AR-15 pistols with arm braces. And, you know, in 120 days after this rule is published, people have to comply or face 10 years in prison. Okay. So on day 119, I'm disconnecting the barrel from these firearms if it hasn't been resolved by that time, right? I'm not going to sit here and let the ATF come do a gotcha, but I'm going to hold on to this and try to support organizations that are fighting this in the courts, which you just mentioned your organization. I know there's, of course, Gun Owners of America, Eric Pratt, and
yes,
there's the Second Amendment Foundation and so on. I put out a call for supporting that. I think this is going to be overturned. I think this is classic ATF overreach, just like EPA overreach in that other recent Supreme Court case. I forgot the name of that case, but you know the one I'm talking about? It was they overturned the EPA declaring that carbon dioxide is a pollutant.
It's
the major questions doctrine.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot. I'm trying to remember.
Sorry. No, I forgot the name of it, too. I think it was like Virginia versus the EPA. Was it a state?
It was. Are you talking about the carbon emissions case?
Well, it was related to carbon emissions. The Supreme Court said the EPA, you can't.
It was just a decision. It was last year, right?
It was fairly recent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was I can't remember the name of it, but it was a 6-3 decision, so it was a pretty
strong. That's right.
Yeah, all the conservatives on the court ruled in favor of it, but I don't remember off the top of my head the name of it, but yes, that was an important decision, and that's what I mean. Look, we're winning victories at the Supreme Court. If this case, and I do believe this ATF regulation will be taken to the Supreme Court, if not by us, by another organization like the ones you mentioned. I absolutely believe under Bruin, it's going to be overturned.
And see, there's almost good news in this, in the sense that, look, tell me if you agree with this theory. I think that Biden's handlers pushed this on the ATF and ordered the ATF to issue this ruling. And I suspect there are plenty of higher ups in the ATF that didn't want to go this far because they knew that this could go to the Supreme Court and result in a precedent-setting smackdown, which would really, you know, hurt the ATF's ability to kind of nibble around the edges of the Second Amendment with things like bump stocks or, you know, the double triggers. I forgot the name of the triggers, you know, not binary triggers, but whatever they're called, where you pull, you know, it simulates automatic fire, but there's right. still an individual trigger pull. I forgot the name of them. But
yep.
I think the ATF got pushed into this. What do you think?
You know, I hadn't honestly considered that, but now that you're saying it, that sounds pretty logical. That's probably what did happen, because like you're saying, you know, there are probably a lot of people reluctant to do it because they know what's going to happen. But hey, that's good for us. Let them keep making these stupid mistakes. I mean, I hate to see people suffer in the meantime. I hate to see someone get arrested, or a lot of people get arrested in the meantime and have to suffer. But the point is, ultimately, we're going to win because we're going to have that precedent, which is going to last generations and hopefully forever, unless mm-hmm. they get their way and pack the courts. But, you know, that hasn't happened yet. And I'm hopeful that's not going to happen. But for now, while we have the court in our favor, we need to get as many of these cases to the Supreme Court as possible. That's why I believe there's an urgency to this. The time is of the essence. We have to be strategic, just like the other side's been strategic for these decades in the courts, bringing cases so they can set precedent. We've now undone a lot of that bad precedent. We need to keep doing that while we have the court in our favor. So that's why it's important to support organizations like ours and like Gun Owners of America and the other organizations you mentioned. You know, we realize that we're in this alongside a lot of other great freedom fighters. It's not all about us, but we want to do our part as well. So we appreciate anybody's support.
Absolutely. And again, folks, if you want to support this organization, just go to wethepatriotsusa.org. Now, let's talk about vaccines. Now, earlier today, I was talking to an associate, a business owner, and he said that two members of his family just died from the vaccines. And he said they were both, you know, just to bring up politics, he said they were both liberal. And they believed in the vaccines, and they took the shots, and they took all the boosters. And he said, but I love them. Even though they're liberal, I still love them because they're family. I didn't want to see them die. And they died. One died around Christmas time, and another died last week. And they weren't old, okay, like 40s and 50s. I keep hearing these stories more and more. I keep hearing about cancer rates exploding. I keep hearing about heart attacks. I keep hearing about deaths, sudden deaths, even among young people in their 20s and 30s as well. It's clear that this is taking a toll. And I know that your organization is fighting against the mandate so that people have a choice. What's your stance on all of this? And what are you focused on doing right now to try to give choice back to the people?
Well, yeah, that's what it's all about. This is real freedom of choice, okay? When we're talking about somebody literally the government and corporations, pharmaceutical corporations, forcing a toxic substance into our bodies that we know kills now. The evidence is here. People can deny it, but whether or not you've watched Died Suddenly, you don't have to watch that film to know. All you have to do is pull up your headlines on your phone every morning and see how many people. What did we have that guy, the American Idol guy, CJ Harris, he died at 31 yesterday.
Exactly.
And then Lisa Marie Presley. And it's just, we hear about the famous people, but we also hear about a lot of young people, these young football players, high school football players, college football players, right. One after the other dropping, either having severe heart incidents or dying. And it's just way too many. You mentioned cancer rates exploding, all of that. It can't be denied. I don't know how anybody can look at this and deny it at this point. But I saw something, Mike, earlier today that just, I don't know why it surprised me, but it still surprised me. It kind of blew my mind. Somebody was talking about I don't know if it was CJ Harris or somebody else, but they posted it, you know, in their Facebook feed that this person had died young, and that it's crazy. It's getting out of control. The numbers are exploding. And someone in the comment section to, you know, responding to the person that had posted this said, what proof do you have? What proof do you have that the numbers are really exploding? People have always died. Young people have always died. And then the person had the gall to say, they went back and forth a few times. The person actually said, until I see it on a mainstream source, not an alt-right source like what you're showing me, because someone put a Rumble link in there. I guess that's alt-right. Until I see it on MSNBC or CNN, I won't believe it. So they actually came out and admitted that that's their standard. They have to see it on a mainstream far left source in order for it to be credible. And I think, unfortunately, the mainstream media has so captivated people's brains, has so really zombified millions of Americans, that there's a ton of people that I know, good people, intelligent people, otherwise intelligent, I should say, people who are like that. If they don't see it on some mainstream network news or cable news, they don't think it's happening. And of course, you're never going to get a CNN anchor or Lester Holt or someone to come on air and say the vaccines are killing millions of people, or the COVID shots are killing millions of people. Nobody, they're never going to say that.
Right.
You know, even if a loved one in their family dies shortly after taking the shot, they're not going to admit it was the shot. So there's this cognitive dissonance. And I think a lot of it, Mike, is because they're afraid. It's fear. They don't want to admit that because they've all taken it.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is we are fighting back to still give people that right to choice. We have focused. Some people have asked us, why don't you just challenge the mandates general? Why don't you just say nobody, no company can have a mandate, period. Well, because that's going to be a loser case, because there's no law and there's nothing actually in the Constitution that says a private corporation can't force its employees to get an injection. What there is there's a law, there's the First Amendment, but there's also a law, Title VII, that says you have to provide religious accommodations. And then there's the ADA, which says you have to provide medical accommodations for a disability. So we have focused on those angles and we've been winning victories that way. And that's why we focus. We have over 200 years of jurisprudence in this country preserving and defending religious freedom, whereas there's nothing in the Constitution that says a private corporation can't mandate a shot. You don't have a right to employment. So as much as that really angers a lot of people on our side and say you should just be challenging the mandates as a violation of Nuremberg Code, well, the second you start putting that in your lawsuit, every single one of those lawsuits that cited Nuremberg Code and has challenged the mandate generally has lost. Why? Because there's no law against it. And guess what? Nuremberg Code is not actually binding law in the United States. It wasn't a treaty that we signed on to or anything like that. So federal courts can thumb their nose.
That is absolutely fascinating, that it's not illegal in America for corporations to commit genocide against their own employees. That's just extraordinary. And but, I mean, I'm not challenging you. I think what you said is accurate. But isn't that an amazing wake-up call? Because these shots, we have scientific proof that they cause chromosomal alterations. So they are transgenic injections. They're not, as you know, technically really vaccines. It's mRNA instructions. They alter chromosomes. This is genetic alteration. And how could it be that a corporation can require someone to submit their bodies to this as a condition of employment in the country that's supposed to be the land of the free? That's just amazing.
It's amazing. It's disgusting. We think the law needs to be changed. And that's why we don't get involved in a lot of lobbying and things like that, legislative lobbying, because we're not allowed to. We're a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, but we are allowed to do an incidental amount of lobbying. And so the one little small piece we have is actually something really important. We have a health status petition on our website. If you go to our homepage, it says sign the petition. You'll scroll it down on our homepage and you'll see it says sign the petition to make health status a protected class. So what that is, right, is we are giving a petition. We're going to be delivering a petition to Congress to make health status, including vaccination status,
a key
protected class under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So just like prior to that, the passage of the Civil Rights Act, you could deny service to a black person at a restaurant, at a lunch counter, right, in the South. After they passed that, you couldn't, all right, under Title II of the Civil Rights Act. You could fire someone or not hire someone because they were black. After Title VII was passed, you can't do that. Well there's nothing in.
Yep. Just adding in, though, today in 2023, universities can discriminate against people for being white because being white is not a protected class, or for being male, or for being conservative, or for being a Christian, right? None of those
but it are is, protected classes. It is. They just don't recognize it. It is a protect. It, you know, race, color, sex, those are all protected classes under the Civil Rights Act. But they, you're right. If you're white, male, and conservative and Christian, suddenly it doesn't apply to you. So you're absolutely right. But what I'm saying is vaccination status or health status, like whether or not you got a COVID test, whether or not you're wearing a mask, all of those things need to be written into the Civil Rights Act that no company can discriminate, no state or local or federal government, and also no private corporation or employer and no business can refuse your service based on your vaccination status, based on your health status of any kind. So we want to cover it more generally for whatever else they're going to roll out. And we have that petition. We need thousands more signatures. So I encourage people to sign that, because we have a strategy here. We have specific congressmen and senators that we are already planning on meeting. We have connections to some of them. We're going to be setting up meetings with people who we know are friendly to medical freedom and religious freedom. And we are going to be calling for congressional hearings. So we're actually going to make an event out of it. Once we have enough signatures, we are going to hand deliver this. We're going to do a live event. We're going to deliver it to Congress. This isn't just going to be one of those petitions you sign, you never hear about it again.
So we're going to deliver it to Congress. On your website, where can people go to sign that petition?
Right on our homepage. If you go to wethepatriotsusa.org and you just scroll down on the homepage, there's it's one of our features right there. And it says, take action, make unrestricted vaccine mandates illegal. And then under click on that and it takes you right to the petition to sign it.
Okay, that's really great. Thank you for that action item. I want to encourage everybody listening to participate in that. That is key. We have to protect health status. Now, you know what's interesting? Going back to AIDS and the 1980s, it was understood nationwide that no one could discriminate against a person because they had AIDS, right? And I mean, this was the culture. It was, no one had to make a law about it. It was just considered, I guess, it was an understood courtesy, right? And even who was the famous basketball player who was
Magic HIV Johnson?
Positive? Yeah, Magic Johnson, right? And everybody played basketball with Magic Johnson, and they were fine. And nobody said, well, all the other basketball players have to get vaccinated against AIDS to play with Magic Johnson. Nobody said that, or that all the other basketball players have to wear a mask, or any of this nonsense, right? So it was a protected class then, but then suddenly, you know, with COVID, I mean, AIDS was very prominent among the gay community. At least that's my memory of how it was described historically, right? So that was protected, I think, because it was related to the gay community. But then COVID could be anybody. No protections. You must take the vaccine. You must wear the mask. You must be locked down. You must lock down your children. So what happened to our culture between those decades that suddenly this understood right vanished?
It's interesting that you bring that up, because there was a line of cases in the 1980s involving that exact issue. So the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, has an exception that you don't have to accommodate someone with a disability, including something like AIDS, if you can prove that they would pose a direct threat of harm to others. Okay. And so others, whether it's in the workplace or in your place of business, a store, a restaurant, if you can prove that the person poses a direct threat, then you can exclude them, deny them service, and you don't have to accommodate them. Well, a whole bunch of people were actually afraid that just by being around someone, being near someone, that you could catch AIDS from them, and that they were somehow a direct threat. And so that was brought, and that was challenged and brought to the Supreme Court. And they said, no, absolutely, that does not qualify as a direct threat. That there, obviously, there's no evidence there that they pose a direct threat. So you can't use that exception. Well, the direct threat exception, we tried to use it during COVID, not we the Patriots, but we, meaning people on our side, tried to use that exception. And suddenly that wasn't allowed. And, you know, that wasn't recognized. They were saying the opposite is, you know, those cases, those AIDS cases, that precedent wasn't recognized is what I mean. Suddenly it was like, even though we don't have any evidence that you pose a direct threat of harm, even though you can't prove that wearing a mask is going to stop the transmission, the spread of COVID, we're still going to allow businesses to exclude you. And the EEOC was actually saying, I actually attended some webinars as a civil rights attorney. I attended some webinars that the EEOC was hosting, and I sat in and listened in, and they were telling people, they were telling their stakeholders, their state agency partners, absolutely, you can uphold those decisions of business owners to exclude people. Yes, you can accommodate them. You can bring their groceries up to the car, but you don't have to let them in your business because they pose a direct threat, even though they had no science to support it. So it was a total double standard. I think it was totally wrong. And I would never have advised any of my clients, if I had a client that was a business, to exclude someone, deny them service simply because they weren't wearing a mask, for instance.
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up and explained that. Thank you for doing that. But going back to the vaccine mandate, which is related to this, now we're talking about corporations compelling their employees to be injected with something that is a foreign substance. Now, of course, a lot of the vaccine promoters argued, well, it's a private company. They can do anything they want, which is not true at all. If I have a corporation and I hire 100 people, I can't line them up and say, today you're all going to eat ribs. You know, I can't do that, right? That's not legal, is it, for me to force employees to eat something or to swallow something or to be injected with something? How is that legal?
Well, again, you could have a religious, if they're pork ribs and you don't eat pork, or beef ribs and you don't eat beef, you could have a religious accommodation. Or if you have a medical disorder, you can't eat certain foods, you have allergies, under the ADA, you'd be protected. But aside from that, if they wanted to force you to eat something, I mean, I can't see a court finding that reasonable, but there's no actual prohibition in law that says an employer can't have a policy that everyone's going to gather together and eat a certain meal at a certain time. We're all going to eat the same thing. There's no law that says you can't do that. There might be in some states that I'm not aware of, but there's no federal law because there's, again, as the libertarians in us want private businesses to be able to do whatever they want, right? We don't want the government to be saying you have to you can do this, you can't do this, you can't have this policy in your business, but you can have this one. You know, we don't want the government doing that.
Right,
so
but we're
on the one
about
hand,
compelling behavior, right, which is different than restricting behavior. We're talking about compelling someone to do something.
I understand that, but I mean, for instance, you're talking about actually consuming something. So I understand the analogy, but for instance, if there was a rule that everyone had to eat lunch at the same exact time in the company cafeteria, and if you didn't, you'd be fired, that would be okay because the company
sure.
can do that.
Yeah,
but
if I said, here's a mystery cocktail salad dressing, I'm not going to tell you what's in it. You all have to eat it. You know, right? That's
find me a law that says you can't though, Mike.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's the problem. There is no law. We want to change that. We want to make health status, you know, if someone says, you know, whatever it is concerning the body, that the employer doesn't have a right to do anything to someone's body. I mean, principally what we're focusing on obviously is toxic shots, injections, but we're also including in there masks and testing. So you can't even force someone to get tested a certain number of times a week or month or whatever like that. So This petition is critical. And I really do think we have like Senator Ron Johnson, Rand Paul, Marjorie Taylor Greene. There are other names too that are very supportive of you know, our side of medical freedom, religious freedom, individual rights, and don't think that employers should be allowed to do that. And I agree with you. That's preposterous. And I've never heard of an employer forcing someone to eat something. So it's never really come before the courts. The courts have never had to rule on that. But they have ruled on forced injections, haven't they? And look how it's come out. We've had some victories, but most of the victories have been religious exemptions and medical exemptions, which is why our organization strategically has focused on that, because we know the law and we want to take on battles that we think we can actually win.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, you're very practical about that. And all we need is respect for religious exemptions or medical exemptions, and then we win. Because, you know, a religious exemption is simply you asserting this belief rooted in faith, and that's it. There can be no proof required of your faith or your conviction.
Yeah. I mean, they're allowed to ask some questions, but they can't get too ridiculous. Like, so we have two lawsuits against pharmaceutical companies. One is against Bristol Myers Squibb. The other we just filed a couple months ago against Takeda Pharmaceuticals in Boston. And they actually had their process for granting or denying, I should say, because they denied almost everyone, for denying religious accommodations was very, very over the line, very, very probing. Do you have any tattoos? Have you ever smoked a cigarette? Have you ever had any alcoholic beverage in your life? Have you ever taken any prescription medication or non-prescription medication in your life?
Have you taken?
And because some of those are tested on aborted fetal cells as well, as you know. And so they were trying to trip people up. Okay, you won't put anything toxic in your body. Why did you have a beer 12 years ago? You know, as if having a beer 12 years ago is the same as being injected with mRNA, gene-altering, DNA-altering poison, toxins. But that's how ridiculous it was. So we loved this case. When they brought it to us, we said, we believe we've got a slam dunk here, okay? Because they went way over the line. You're allowed to ask some questions like, what is your religion, all right? Just to make sure you actually have – if you don't have an organized religion, that's fine. But what is your religious belief? They can ask for a letter from clergy, but that's not required. There's nothing in the law that says you have to have a clergy. You can practice your religion at home. So again, there's no way for them to prove that you don't have this religious belief.
Okay, Brian, let me throw this out your way, because I love the intellectual stimulation of speaking with you, Frank. This is really cool. But on the LGBT side, so the transgenders are allowed to state that they can be anything they want at any moment without any proof required whatsoever. There's never any biological proof or anatomical proof required to say that for that person to say they are a woman or they are a man or they are a fairy rainbow creature or whatever they want, unicorns. There's nothing required. But when you say I'm a person of faith, then it's an, oh, show us the proof, answer the questions, be interrogated. You know, they don't interrogate transgenders about anything.
That's a great point. And you can even be a furry now, right? You can have a litter box in your classroom, right? This is absolutely ridiculous. And how dare you question? If you say, oh, I believe they're just faking it, you would be charged with a hate crime. It's absolutely ridiculous. So you're right. That's a great analogy. They don't require them to show any proof, but yes, they require us to anytime and religion is covered under the Constitution. See, Neil Gorsuch, that horrible decision he wrote interpreting Title VII to include sexual orientation and gender identity, even though Congress never intended that in 1964 when it was passed, the word sex in there was male and female. That's the only protection under Title VII. Okay. Nothing to do with gender identity or sexual orientation. He can say that all he wants. The reality of the situation is there is no protection, not only not in Title VII or Title II of Civil Rights Act, but there's also nothing in the Constitution to protect transgender rights or sexual orientation. But guess what? There is protection. Religious freedom. The very first clause of the First Amendment, what does it say? All right. It's about the free exercise of religion. And then it goes on. There's another clause in the First Amendment that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. So there's two parts of that First Amendment, the principal parts, right in the beginning, off the bat. What did the framers of the Constitution put in? Religious freedom, religious protection. Yeah. And yet, you know, we don't have the same protections. You're absolutely right. And it's just disgusting. But we're going to make sure the rule of law is upheld. We're going to make sure that the courts get back to reading the interpretation as an originalist document, the textualist interpretation, not some, you know, living, breathing, organic document that changes over time. We're going to get back to the vision of our founding fathers.
Well said. Well said. And that's the reason why people should consider supporting you. In my opinion, wethepatriotsusa.org is the website. Also want to mention, you've got channels. What do you have? Gab, Getter, Truth Social, Twitter, and Telegram. You have a big channel on Telegram, We the Patriots USA. You got a couple of podcasts coming up. You want to give us a quick brief on that?
Yeah. Thanks. So We the Patriots USA news channel on Telegram. That's the best way to follow us and get all of the latest up to the minute, up to the second updates. My amazing business partner and friend, Don Jolly, who runs the organization with me, she manages that channel principally and does a great job. So please go on to Telegram and join that channel. Email also, sign up on our email list on our homepage. You can subscribe right under the contact tab, and that'll give you updates on all of our lawsuits. We don't overwhelm with emails. I know some people are hesitant to sign up to an email list, but we literally send out like one email, maybe two per week at most. So we do not overwhelm your inbox. Podcast, Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson is our flagship. That's our original podcast. Taryn was fired from the PGA Tour. She was a broadcaster, a journalist for the PGA Tour. She was fired for refusing masking and testing mandates while she was pregnant, by the way. She does a great job. She's a consummate professional. You can tune in every Wednesday for her show. And then we have a new podcast that we're launching January 23rd. That's this coming Monday, January 23rd. It is Vets and Visionaries with Kristen Megan. Kristen Megan Kelly, as you know, scientist, OSHA expert, Air Force veteran, wife, mother, amazing human being. She calls herself the loudmouth Liberty
hygienist,
talker.
Right? Isn't that her title? Yes. Industrial hygienist?
She's an industrial hygienist, right? I always forget the exact specific title, but Dawn and I will actually be joining her for her very first episode to launch. So you can hear from both of us Monday, January 23rd. So it'll be airing every Monday. And we are just so excited to bring her to our team. She's so knowledgeable. People weren't listening to her when they were masking, shutting down schools, shutting down businesses. And she was saying that's the wrong thing to do. You know, she knows OSHA inside and out, and they weren't listening to her. But now we've given her a platform. She's going to have a show, and we just invite everybody to tune in. You can tune in. You can find it not only on our home on our website. We have a page for each podcast, but you'll also be able to find it on our Rumble channel and anywhere you listen to podcasts. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of that stuff.
Man, that's fantastic. And we're going to talk to you about how we co-broadcast some of this on the Brighteon platform at some point too, because we love Kristen Megan and her work. I've interviewed her several times. She knows her stuff. You know what you're talking about, obviously, here. Love to work with you more closely and help publicize all your amazing
efforts. We do have a Brighteon channel. We do upload to Brighteon.
Well, I think we could do more streaming with you as well. So we could talk about that another time. But we've got Brighteon.tv, Brighteonradio.com, and something new coming up that I can't mention here publicly, but I'll tell you about off air that might be of interest to you. So streaming tech to try to amplify the voices that are fighting for human freedom. So anyway, it's all good news. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing all that with us, Brian. This is great. That's about it then. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, I just want to thank you once again for this opportunity to come back on your show. We love what you do, Mike. We're big fans of all of your broadcasts and everything. We've been on Brighteon with others as well. We've been interviewed by Daniel Bublinski before, and we just love your platform and everything that you're doing to speak truth. And again, if anyone can find it in their hearts or their wallets to give us a little bit of donation. Monthly donations especially are appreciated so that we can budget and plan for these lawsuits. You can find it on the donate tab at wethepatriotsusa.org. But that's all for me. I thank you, and I hope we can catch up again soon. God bless.
Okay, we will. Stand by, Brian. Don't hang up yet. So folks, again, interview with Brian Festa here, wethepatriotsusa.org. Go to the website. Check out what they have going on. Sign the petition under the says take action, make unrestricted vaccine mandates illegal. Sign that petition. Let's pressure lawmakers to right the wrongs that were used to pressure people into these toxic vaccines, so-called vaccines. But thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, the free speech platform that I built so that we can have uncensored conversations just like this one. Feel free to repost this interview on your own channel and on other platforms as well. God bless you all. God bless America. And take care. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.